Lord Jellicoe Reel 5.
Well, that in itself was a fairly tall order, seeing that there was quite a strong German force with 70 tanks or so inroads. But what really amazed me was when I listened to this, and this is a fairly senior, I mean, not a major generals and brigadiers all around the table, a conference going on. What really amazed me was that this small mission was going to go up in a couple of RAF crash boats, which, if the weather had been bad, getting all the way to Rhodes was not going to be very sensible, and it was going to take a bit of time. And the message about their arrival was going to be conveyed by a Greek SOE operative, who was a peasant, I think, who was in Rhodes, but he was based the German side of the lines, as it were, or the German position where we thought they were stationed, and his wireless hadn't been working for the best part of a month. And I couldn't contain myself after about half an hour, and I said, not for me as a junior officer to comment, but I will. And I said I thought this was absolutely crazy, and I thought the only sensible thing was to drop her party in by parachute that evening. And rather to my surprise, this was immediately agreed. And somebody across the table, whom I didn't know, called himself Major Dolby, said, do you speak Italian? I said, no, not a word. He said, I do. You will need an interpreter. I'd like to come with you. I said, fine. Are you parachute trained? He said, yes. And I said, fine, and I'll supply a wireless operator. There wasn't time to get any of my people down. By that time, it was getting on for lunchtime, and we had to leave that evening. So a plane was sent down. We took off that evening. We then flew around Turkey. We never found Rhodes. I then said, let's wait till first light, and then we'll drop in there. And they said, no, we'll be shot down. So I said, well, regretfully, if that's you really think it's not on, they said, no, we can't. So we flew back, and then they'd had hardly time, the pilots. They'd just flown down. They hadn't been properly briefed, etc. And it was very foggy, misty that evening. In any case, we found it the next night. On the way, Major Dolby disclosed that, in fact, he'd never parachuted in his life. I said, oh, it's all right. I said, give me a push if I don't look like going. I gave him a push. He dropped. We dropped a bit out of, as one often did, not quite where we ended. We are further south of Rhodes than we'd wanted to be. He fell on the coastal road and broke his leg, extremely badly. And Sergeant Cheston, our wireless operator, he fell somewhere up the hill. I fell much more up the hill, on top of very close to an Italian anti-aircraft battery, which opened up. They thought that we were Germans, and there'd been some fighting between the Italians and the Germans. And I fell on a rather rocky, bare sort of plateau, and immediately a sort of fire was opened on me, and I had very strict instructions that I must destroy my... I had a letter from Field Marshal General Wilson to Admiral Campione about the plan, and I had strict instructions this letter must, if I was in danger of capture, must be destroyed. And I couldn't find anywhere to destroy it because it was very barren open land, so I ate the bloody thing, and it was rather embossed. So it wasn't very digestible, thing. And then I suppose after about 45 minutes, I heard the people approaching, and I heard them talking Italian. I thought they were probably Germans. And then I said, amici, amici, and that all was well. By the time I got down the road with them, Dolby had been taken into Rhodes. And by the time I got into Rhodes, he was there. I found him with Admiral Campione, talking to him. How he did it, I don't know, because his leg was very badly broken. The bone was showing in some places. But he translated or interpreted, he'd been interpreting all night, almost the night for us. And I tried to persuade Admiral Campione that to declare himself, to come over, to hold the port, to allow a later landing of British forces. An Indian division was going to land, I think. And it was beyond my powers of persuasion. And I think I've heard criticism of him. I think it's unjust. He had, it's true, some 35,000 troops, but they're in penny packets all around the island without much transport. Last thing they wanted to do was to go on fighting, although some of them did, including their artillery. The Germans were 7,000 or 8,000 strong, but they already held the airfields. They had the tanks, and they were full of fight. And if I'd been Admiral Campione, I would have made the same decision as he did, which in many ways was quite helpful. He evacuated in one of his seaplanes. He sent Dalby back to Cyprus. He allowed me to stay all that day. I was in wireless communication with Cairo, trying to persuade them to hurry things up so I could use more bargaining counter, as it were, with Campione. And then he sent me off with his chief of staff, Hanetz, his name was, that evening in an Italian mass boat, meta torpedo boat, with all the plans of the Italian minefields of the Aegean to Castellorizzo, which a squadron of mine under David Sutherland had already occupied. I don't think he could have done more myself. And I liked him. And I've read these criticisms of him, and I think they're unjust. He was subsequently handed over by the Germans to the Italian Republic of the North, as was Admiral Mascherpa, the Italian commander in Leros, and they were shot in Parma. And I've always been rather incensed at the criticisms I've heard of a perfectly honorable man, I think. He treated me absolutely fairly. The German commander was in one room and I was in the other at one stage. Sorry, I don't know where you've... And then we went up from there. The decision was taken, despite the failure to capture Rhodes, despite the loss of the airfields there, to go further into the Aegean, as you know, under the prompting of the Prime Minister, still pursuing his Aegean dream. And I occupied Kos. I went out with David Sutherland in MLs. We were welcomed by the Italians in garrison in Kos, who came over. That was in the morning. Not the next morning, I had 2 days in Castellorizzo, I think. And I then went on later that day in an Italian motor torpedo boat from Kos to Leros. And it started blowing the Melteme, you know, this sharp Aegean wind. And it got extremely rough off the coast of Kalinos. I remember the Italian, our lingua franca was French. He's saying, c'est grave, he said, the weather. About 10 minutes later, as it got worse, he said, c'est pire. I rather agreed with him, but eventually we got, as we were on a lee shore, we got into Leros. I saw Admiral Mascherpa, Captain Mascherpa, he was at that time, was promoted by the Italian Badoglio government, and he came over too. So that was the beginning of the Dodecanese campaign and the fall of Leros and everything else.